This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 38.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called the Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Realistically, it's my time freedom and my geographical freedom. Like my sister had a baby during COVID and she's down in Florida. So about 2 months after, you know, she had the baby, I was able to go spend 2 weeks down there to go help her out, and because she was going back to work. And I was able to just kind of work from Florida for a couple weeks. You know, I had internet access and electricity. I knew my market pretty well because I'd lived here for a period of time.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called the Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
All right. Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today we have Alex Brashears on with us, and Alex is a private money lender, a Regulation A fund investor relations manager, multifamily underwriter, educator, limited partner in multifamily syndications, and community builder who partners with active and passive real estate investors, syndicators, and military spouses to grow their financial independence, knowledge, and professional network. Alex started a private lending company, Infinite Road Investments, in April of 2020, funding first lien and second lien positions for residential property in the Hampton Roads, Virginia area. She also started an educational Facebook group called Private Lending Lessons, which offers weekly educational lessons, daily posts for discussion, and opportunities to network with other investors about private lending and various projects that may need funding. I'm a member of that group. It's really awesome. They put out some great information. You definitely want to check that out. We'll talk more about that later. So she also works with the team at Mission First Capital, a Regulation A fund that helps active duty and veteran service members invest in real estate to improve their long-term wealth. At Mission First Capital, she works in organizational management, investor relations, and underwriting for property acquisitions for asset purchases. Alex is also passionate about financial education and independence for female investors, and she is currently a chemistry professor teaching at a four-year school online and leading biweekly educational series about real estate investing in her Facebook group. She's a limited partner for 16 units in Newport News, Virginia, in addition to owning and co-hosting short-term rentals. So Alex, whew, what a background. I'm running out of air here. Great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Every time I hear my bio, I'm like, I am really busy.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're doing a lot of stuff and a lot of good stuff. So as I mentioned, I'm a member of your Facebook group as well, and I've really enjoyed the content you guys put out. That's really good stuff. Right off the bat, the first question I like to ask you, I ask everybody this, is, you know, we'd like to know a little bit about your background. So if you could share a little bit about your story with us.
Absolutely. So I am a military spouse. My spouse is an active duty service member stationed here in the Hampton Roads area right now. 20 years experience as a military spouse. You learn a thing or two about resilience and having plans kind of dashed at the last minute, and you think you're moving here and then you end up going there. And that doesn't really lead to building very much of a career. You know, a lot of my career, especially being in chemistry, is not very portable. You know, it's generally not a job you can kind of pick up and go from place to place to place. And a lot of times, I mean, the longest we've ever lived anywhere in the last 20 years has been 22 months. And that's where I'm currently living. So, I mean, we've been places 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, you know, anywhere from that range to 22 months. So as most of your listeners might realize, if they're involved in real estate tends to be kind of a slow moving asset. It's not like the stock market where, you know, it could be up 5% today and then down 10% tomorrow. So the idea of moving somewhere and then buying a home with like your VA loan, I know that's used a lot in the, for the military real estate investing space. It didn't make a lot of sense for us personally. If you're only going to live somewhere 3 months, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to get your equity back out of that at the purchase and the sale, you know, all happening in under a year. And then the idea of being a remote landlord, you know, thousands of miles away, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 time zones away from wherever the property happens to be. We did do it. We did foray into that world, but we did not like it. So we vowed we would never be a long-term landlord again. We've stuck to that so far. So that really kind of led to our journey now with real estate investing. We always knew we wanted to get back into real estate. We kind of took some time away kind of officially as we were bouncing around a lot. And then obviously here being Hampton Roads is kind of the hub of the Navy on the East Coast for, you know, pretty much hundreds of miles. And that gave us an opportunity to kind of settle down a little. Like I mentioned, we've been here 22 months, so that's a record for us by far. So that kind of led to us getting involved in these various projects that were mentioned in the bio.
Wow. Yeah, that's great stuff. I mean, 20 years now doing this as a military spouse, I got to say thank you for everything that you do, because I know that struggle all too well. I mean, the first 10 years my wife and I were married, we moved 8 times. So absolutely understand that. So you found a particular niche that's real, you know, that works really well for you. You don't want to do the long distance landlord thing. I did that recently to myself, and it's definitely painful. So you found something else to do, and you know, I'm really excited to talk about this particular topic. So before we get into that, you know, you said that you tried all these different other aspects before you got into private lending, right? And you know, as you went through this journey, you know, the different discoveries you made, I'd like to know, like, what is it that made you finally settle down on this idea? So like, what did you do along your journey to get to this point that you realized this was the route that was best for you guys?
It's going to sound funny, but it's actually sit down and have a conversation with myself about what I wanted my life to look like. Because I think the number one thing that needs to happen with people that are interested in getting involved in real estate investing or investing in general and in any fashion is they really need to sit down and think about what they want their life to look like and then try and find investing strategies. Kind of you're working backwards, thinking backwards, you know, what is the end goal? And then start looking into avenues that get you to that end goal. I've talked to so many active duty service members who are like, oh, I'm going to have 20 doors by the time I retire. I'm just going to buy a new house every year. And then I'm going to have, you know, my 50% base pay. And then I'm going to have these 20 doors and that's going to be my passive income. And I'm like, 20 doors is not as passive as you're thinking it's going to be. You know, and after they own 2 or 3 or 4, you know, they start really, the light bulb goes on. Like this is much more time consuming than I originally thought, or it just doesn't fit their lifestyle, whatever their lifestyle happens to want to be. So again, you know, I think that I call it real estate hazing. So whenever somebody talks about they want to be a real estate investor, generally there's only 2 things that come to mind. You're going to put farmhouse sinks into ugly houses like they do on HGTV, or you're going to be a landlord. And then, you know, after nobody's discussing with you, you know, do those things fit your goals? Do they fit your skills? Do they fit your time commitments, your capital commitments, things like that? Because if you think about it, especially now in the age of masterminds and, you know, groupthink, you know, join this guru program, nobody's going to sit there. If you sign up for a Burr conference or, you know, a Burr mastermind, nobody's going to sit there and have the conversation with you. Does Burr actually fit who you are? They're not there to talk you out of Burr or talk you into Burr. You've already paid the money. They're there to tell you all about Burr. So I think really anybody that's thinking about a style of investing, whether that's real estate, stocks, bonds, businesses, whatever you're thinking of investing in, is find a style that fits the lifestyle that you want to have. When you kind of, because the journey is the whole thing, the destination, everybody's like, oh, in 20 years, I'm going to do this and I'm going to retire my passive income. But that's literally a point in time. The journey is 99% of the experience.
Wow. I really like that. It's funny. Normally I find like what I think I'm going to put at the beginning of the podcast is like the little teaser, you know, later on in the interview. But I mean, you hit it off right from the beginning with some great golden nuggets. I really like when you said, what do I want my life to look like? Right. And then basically you take it from there and work it backwards. That is such an awesome way to look at it. You know, what's the end goal that you have in mind that you're trying to accomplish? You know, don't just sit here and say, you know, like you, that example you gave, you know, somebody just wants to get 20 doors and they'll live off that in their military pension. Well, that, like you said, it's not as passive as you think. And I can tell you from recent experience, it's not passive at all. So that's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And so let's get into the topic that we're here to discuss. All right. We're talking about private lending. So can you tell us what are the benefits to private lending?
Absolutely. And I would say the biggest one from a military spouse perspective is I can do this from anywhere that I have electricity and internet connection. And basically, that's the only places I'm going. So if he gets stationed somewhere where we don't have that, I'm not going anyway. So it's a business that I can build no matter where I live. And as long as, you know, I choose whatever market or, you know, choose the borrowers I want to work with, and those are successful, it's very kind of set it and forget it, like those old rotisserie kitchen commercials. You know, it's the work is very what I call front end heavy. So it's doing due diligence on the borrower, the property, kind of really zeroing in on what is very important to you as a lender, as an investor. And then after that, it's just kind of rinse and repeat. And I'm fortunate enough, I have three or four borrowers that I routinely work with, and they keep my capital deployed and we're happy. You know, if it weren't COVID, I'd be able to go over to their house and, you know, I know all their kids' names. I could have barbecues with them, the whole nine yards. So it's a very relationship, very collaborative endeavor. Whereas when I was a landlord, it felt very adversarial. And I think a lot of the rhetoric, especially now with COVID, has become even more adversarial. You know, it's the rich landlords trying to, you know, kick out the working class, you know, the working poor that aren't able to afford their homes, and eviction moratoriums and rent cancellation, you know, and all these things. You know, it's very much just, you know, pinning one against the other. But when I'm a private lender, it's very collaborative because me and the active investor have the same goals. We both want the property renovated. We both want the property sold. We both want the property refinanced, whatever it is. So we know we have to work together as a team to get that done. So it's completely different than any other thing I've experienced so far in real estate investing.
That's great. That's awesome. I mean, so it's just another way for you to invest, you know, your capital that you have and get some good returns, right? Without having to worry about, you know, is the rent going to get paid? Is, you know, are they going to break something in the house? You know, that's nothing that really concerns you. That's the person who's borrowing the money. You know, they're going to be concerned with that, but you're on the back end just collecting your check. And that's pretty awesome. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been a private lender?
Officially, I started in April of last year. I had done it kind of off and on over the years, just as a person, knowing another usually active duty service member wherever we're stationed, you know, doing a fix and flip or something, and they needed some additional cash for renovation or whatever. But when COVID happened, it forced everybody, forced the world to really pivot. So when COVID happened, I started going to these Zoom, you know, the Zoom meetups, and I happened to be in a breakout room with another active duty service member. And we were talking, just doing normal networking things. And he mentioned that the hard money lender he was going to be using for this particular deal just shut their doors, which a lot of hard money lenders shut their doors at the very beginning of COVID. They're like, we're just going to take a beat. We're going to figure out what's going on with the economy. So we'll see you guys later. He was actually going to miss out on this deal if he didn't find, you know, another hard money lender is the route he was going. And I was like, well, here's my contact information. Let me know. He was local to where I happen to live too. And I was like, okay, you know, we kind of quote unquote met up after the meetup event. And we just said, you know, tell me about the property. Tell me about a little bit about yourself. And it just turned out, you know, it happened to be the perfect property that I would want to lend on. You know, the borrower was somebody I really would want to lend to as another active duty service member, you know, family, three kids, house, you know, literally lived down the street at the time. So it was just kind of worked out that we happened to meet each other at the right time. And I was like, if you can give me a couple of weeks to get, you know, the legal side, the LLC established, everything that I need to do, I was like, I'm happy to fund this deal. You know, I have a good feeling about this, about you. I don't see the market here in Hampton Roads tanking anytime soon because we have massive amount of federal dollars here between the bases and employees and contractors. And we made it happen. So a couple weeks later, you know, the whole thing started kind of officially. We got the ball rolling and off we were to our first deal.
Yeah, that, what a way to get started, you know, just randomly on a Zoom call, you get put into those breakout rooms. And, you know, I've met a couple of great people that way as well. There's a group that I'm a part of out here in Hawaii, and we do Zoom meetings now because we can't do them in person. Hopefully soon we will. But, you know, they started doing the whole thing where we do our educational piece and then we do breakout rooms. And it's just phenomenal when you could sit down and talk to like two or three people. You know, it's a little more intimate that way, right? You get to really know, like, you know, what are you working on? What are you doing? You know, how can we help each other? It's just the networking aspect that I've found in just the real estate community, the investment community, just everybody that works in this whole financial niche is just phenomenal. And I've always found that people are always willing to help. People are always willing to show you things, to help educate you. It's just been an awesome experience. So I'm glad to see it's happening on the East Coast as well. So tell me what you enjoy about being a private lender.
Realistically, it's my time freedom and my geographical freedom. Like my sister had a baby during COVID and she's down in Florida. So about 2 months after, you know, she had the baby, I was able to go spend 2 weeks down there to go help her out, and because she was going back to work. And I was able to just kind of work from Florida for a couple of weeks. You know, I had internet access and electricity. I knew my market pretty well because I'd lived here for a period of time. You know, like I said, the borrowers, it just kind of, the capital rolls from deal to deal to deal with the same borrower. So it's just kind of doing your due diligence on the properties. So it's really the time freedom and the geographical freedom that I really enjoy.
Let's take a quick break from today's episode to hear from our show sponsors. What's going on, Average Joes? We know that managing one account or your entire family's portfolio can be stressful and time-consuming. From building and maintaining spreadsheets, calculating how many new shares and units you need to purchase with your contributions, finding the time to log into your brokerage and make those trades, and annually rebalancing each account. Well, my friends over at Passive came up with a tool that can help you manage all of this in a fraction of time without spreadsheets and manual calculations. Passive is a portfolio management tool that makes it easier for DIY investors to maintain a balanced portfolio and build a passive investment strategy at their online broker. It eliminates the need to use spreadsheets, saves you from having to log into your broker to place trades, and helps you stick to your portfolio's target allocation. Elite users can save even more time by using the one-click trades feature and having Passive execute the required trades on your behalf. All of this can be done from the Passive dashboard for all of your accounts. No more logging in to multiple brokerage accounts. Passive is not a robo-advisor. It won't tell you what you should invest in, so you'll need to decide that for yourself, either through self-education or alongside a financial advisor. To learn more about Passive or to sign up, check out our link below, www.averagejoefinances.com/passive. That's P-A-S-S-I-V with no E. Again, P-A-S-S-I-V with no E. Check them out. Welcome back, everybody. Let's get back into it.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, freedom, personal freedom especially, is key, right? And I think that's what a lot of people are searching for. When they say they want financial freedom, I think what they really want is just that personal freedom to be able to just go and do what they want, when they want, and not have these roadblocks. Well, I got to take off from work, or I got to figure out, you know, how I'm going to fund this trip, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to do that. You know, that whole essential part of freedom starts with your financial freedom, right? So I think that's one of the key things to think about. So if that's the case, then why don't, you know, more people do private lending earlier in their investing life? So we've got a lot of people here that listen to this show that are just getting started out. They're just getting to that point where they've beat all their debt, and now they're trying to figure out what do they do with their money. So what would that benefit be to them if they were to look at this as an option?
I would say it offers you an opportunity to learn real estate, but kind of from the back seat. So think about as an active investor, if you're putting up, you know, your credit line, you know, maybe you took a HELOC out on your primary residence, so you got your primary residence on the line. you know, you have to find the contractor. You have to do everything. You have to find the contractor. You have to find the property. You have to negotiate. You know, you have to put it, remodel it, put it up for sale. You know, whatever your particular strategy is, it's all you, and you better have a really solid idea what that looks like before you put an offer in. Because if your offer, you know, most of the maximum allowable offer, your MAO, the formula often is that it's going to be the after repair value minus the repairs you think it needs, you know, times 70%. You know, it's like, it's really quite simple. But at the same time, if your scope of work is off, you know, if you think, oh, it only needs $20,000 worth of work, and then you actually close on the deal and you open it, and it's got foundation problems, it needs a new roof, all these other things you didn't notice, your $20,000 could very easily balloon into $40,000 at the blink of an eye. And if you've taken out a HELOC on your primary residence, your contractor walks off with his deposit and yet to be heard from again, you know, all of that is very much on you. Versus if you are a partner in a deal or you're a private lender in a deal, again, you're going back to that collaborative nature where you might have, you know, say you're doing gap funding. You want to start with $30,000 or $50,000 and you want to kind of team up with a more experienced active investor. You know, you just have the $30,000 or $50,000 kind of out there at work. And then someone else is handling the, you know, shouldering a lot of the actual work, you know, physical, making sure supplies are ordered, making sure the vendors are coming in, the contractors are finishing the job. And you can kind of be kept in the loop as much as you want. So if you want daily updates of what's going on and your borrower knows that's the expectation, then you can get that and learn from that. If you're someone that's like, yeah, I don't care what you do, just, you know, I want my monthly interest only payments and we'll have a nice day. You know, I don't advocate that, but you know, you could do that too. So it's really very much a position where you can go and step in as deep into the water as you want. It's not something where you got to just, you know, jump off the high board and sink or swim.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, because, you know, you're going to be the one that sets that standard when you get it started, right? If you're the one who's lending the money. So you tell, you know, expectations are what's important, right? So I think that's the key there. What do you expect? What is it that you guys work out with, you know, how you're going to fund the deal? And that's really awesome. So, okay. So one of the things that I got when I looked at your information is how this in particular, this type of, I guess, niche, right, in the private lending area, you know, this, it resonates more maybe with women investors, right? So if you could just kind of tell me why you think it resonates more with women investors.
Absolutely. I think it really speaks to women, because if you think about the typical, you know, active investor role, you know, you might be putting bandit signs out on the side of the road, you know, I'll buy a house, any condition, and a phone number, you know, you're managing contractors, you're going out to the property to, you know, do checkups and make sure, you know, the tile actually got put in and the tile's the right color and all these other things. And a lot of women, especially during COVID, we already have enough to do. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I already know I have enough to do. You know, a lot of us are educating children, sometimes multiple children, doing different Zoom schedules for school. We might be working from home. You know, we also have our home responsibilities as far as taking care of our families, you know, throw pets in there, job in there, you know, and everything else. The last thing we want is another tornado in the storm. So passive investing, like I mentioned, a couple hours of due diligence, you know, you set it and forget it and then you're done. And I think most women kind of associate that. They're like, okay, yeah, I can sit down and set aside, you know, 20, 30 minutes a day to learn something new or, you know, dive a little deeper into this particular borrower or this particular project, whatever it happens to be. And again, even private lending, you know, you don't even necessarily have to do that. If you found a broker that you really wanted to work with and you trusted them, you know, they could do the due diligence and the underwriting. It really becomes just set it and forget it. Just let me know when closing is and I'll wire a check over type of arrangement. So it's not necessarily you're taking on another tornado amidst a storm of other tornadoes you're trying to deal with. And I think that really resonates with a lot of women. I also think a lot of women don't have that kind of, I don't want to say aggressive, but that kind of like side hustle, you know, like I'm going to go and call distressed sellers and I'm going to make them sell me their property, you know, or I'm just going to drive for dollars. And, you know, a lot of women that are at the, you know, local RIA meetings, when we're able to kind of meet in person again, the room is not 50-50. You know, if the room happens to be close to 50-50, most of the women in the room are in some sort of support role. You know, they're the realtor, they're not the owner. They're, you know, a loan processor, they're not the lender, you know. And I would like to see more women get more actively involved in real estate, but that doesn't necessarily mean become an active investor.
Right. So, you know, even in this aspect, you're still involved in you know, you're still have some type of a position in a deal. You're still involved in the real estate, right? Excuse me. So, you know, that's really interesting because I did notice that too, even at the local meetups out here, there's definitely more men than women at these meetups. So getting it so that, you know, just that it's more interesting to women, right? Because maybe just it's not as, I guess, as sexy to look at, to look at real estate versus doing something else, like some other type of side hustle or, you know, like a lot of people get involved in like different MLMs and things like that, right? That seems to be like, you know, all the friends from high school getting together and roping each other in. That seems to be a little bit more fun and you know, social. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's why, you know, women tend to go more with that niche. I don't know. I'm not a woman, so I don't know. but I really like what you're doing and trying to get like more involvement, like get more women involved in real estate. And that's an awesome mission to have. Besides private money lending, right? I know you're a limited partner on that 16 unit Newport News, right? Are there any other asset classes that you personally currently invest in?
It's going to be all residential at the moment. It's basically what I know. And I'm not so much a matter of like, let's diversify, you know, our portfolio. Okay, that's great. But I'm still going to go with things that I know. You know, I know, you know, commercial real estate as far as like the retail side or what, you know, what happens to be might be getting a beating right now. A lot of the tourism, you know, with COVID, you know, hotels are, you know, declaring bankruptcy and things like that. And I know there's investors that are kind of shifting gears from multifamily over to the, you know, hotel space, thinking that, you know, they could pick up a fireside sale and do something with it. And that's great. I'm happy they have that ambition. But I like knowing what I'm getting into, and this is something that I'm comfortable with investing with my knowledge base and the current market.
Right on. I mean, having that comfort, you know, that like being in your comfort zone, sometimes, you know, it's great to get outside of your comfort zone, but when it comes to where you're tying your money up, it's very important that you're comfortable with where you're putting your money, right? So, you know, being in the residential area, one of the things that I like about it, and one of the things I like about real estate, especially residential real estate, is that people will always need a place to live. So real estate is a really safe, I think, in my personal opinion, is a really safe asset class to be involved in, no matter what portion, you know, or what aspect of being in this this asset class, you know, being just a part of it is a safer bet than, you know, going into paper assets like in the stock market and things like that, which nothing wrong with that, but this is, you know, a little bit more of a safer route to go. I know some of the things that we've been talking about is how private lending, you know, how it is a way of investing in real estate and how it's passive, right? And how people can fit this into an overall investment plan that works for their finances, but also the lifestyle that you've set for yourself, right? And this is based off of some of the stuff that we talked about before. And I think that's one of the important things that, you know, people need to realize and just when they're thinking about what is your goal with financial freedom? What is the lifestyle you want to live? What are the, you know, those choices that you make to get there, those decisions to accomplish these goals, that's, you know, all that's what it all starts with, that end state in mind. Like I'm going back to the beginning of what we first started talking about, because that still resonates with me so much. And I wrote it down in my notes here, just I love it. What do I want my life to look like? You know, I think it all comes back to that. What do you want your life to look like? So, you know, coming up with these different goals to get there, that's going to be the way to go. So I have one more question I want to ask you. And this is probably the most important question of them all, right? Because I think a lot of people are going to want to reach out to you and get to know a little bit more about you and what you're doing. So if you could, please share some more information about yourself. Like where can we find information about you? Do you have a website or social media pages that people can follow? We know about the Facebook group, definitely going to have a link to that. So if you could just share that with us.
Absolutely. So the Facebook group is called Private Lending Lessons. And I'm in there literally daily, multiple times a day, posting stuff. And we have weekly educational events, which I host. So happy to talk to anybody, you know, on there. You can send me a Facebook message and happy to chat. I do have a website. It's called InfiniteRoadInvestments.com. And I actually created a little 30-page kind of ebook that talks about private lending from a very high level. So if you're thinking about this as something you might want to start, you know, you just want some more information about it. Because the one thing I noticed about private lending, at least when I got started, was there's not a lot of information out there. There's literally maybe 5 or 6 books on Amazon, for example. You know, Bigger Pockets has books about how to be a landlord and how to buy your first apartment building in 30 days and how to, you know, put out a scope of work, you know, that's pretty accurate. But the only way private lending was ever mentioned was go find a private lender to fund your deals. And then that left the other half of the table with like, okay, right. So what does that look like? So a lot of it, the group was originally started because there was that lack of education. There was that lack of networking. So that's what I would say is the value in the group is it allows people to literally talk to other people doing this type of investing. So that would be the main two is the Facebook group and my Infinite Road Investments page.
Love it. You know, even here with sharing your information in this sign off here, you're still putting out some golden nuggets. And, you know, again, education, that is huge. So I definitely need a link to your ebook too, so we can stick that in the show notes, because, you know, if you want to know about private lending, Alex is out there crushing it. I can tell you from following her for a little while now and being in the group, she's doing some amazing things. So guys, check it out. Check out her stuff. You will not be disappointed. Alex, it was absolute pleasure talking with you today. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.
What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about WealthTender. If you are a finance content creator, whether that's a blog, a podcast, you're a financial advisor or a financial coach, I highly recommend you check out WealthTender. WealthTender is building a database of all the top finance blogs, podcasts, and the financial advisors and financial coaches that they have on there are vetted and top notch. So we actually had the pleasure of hosting Brian Thorpe, the CEO and founder of WealthTender, on Average Joe Finances Podcast episode 25. Go check out that episode, listen to his story, and listen to him talk about the database that he's building. It's really phenomenal stuff. So if you're interested in checking out the directory, or if you're a finance content creator and you're interested in joining up with the directory, go to the link below in the show notes or check out www.averagejoefinances.com/wealthtender. The Average Joe Finances Podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Do not use this for any real estate or investment making decisions. All views by myself or our guests